ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। Last week in this portion, charity, we were studying about that law, attach you lose, detach you gain. So he says, he quotes Swami Ramatirtha and says, the way to gain anything is to lose it. So what is to be given up is not your actions, but the selfish ego. The arrogating self needs to be sacrificed. The likes and dislikes needs to be sacrificed. The desires needs to be sacrificed, which means you pitch up a goal in the direct, giving a direction to your desires, then work for the goal, not for fulfilling the desires. Whatever comes out of such action, from that you can fulfill your desires. Nothing wrong. As long as they are dharmic, you know, it's not the desire to harm somebody or anything like that. So therefore, instead of just acting to fulfill your desires, merely to fulfill your desires, Vedanta says, just look at the world, man. So much of benefits have been bestowed upon you ever since you are born. And you are taken care of. Why do you want to really sit and worry about this? And how much ever you worry, what is permanent, nothing can be done. What is impermanent, nothing can be done. Impermanent, you do whatever you want, will continue to be impermanent. Permanent will never leave you, it will always be there. So, when you understand it from this angle, impermanent, which is world, do whatever you want, it will, if you get attached, it will give you sorrow. From the impermanent, if you get attached, and expect the impermanent to be permanent, you will suffer, number one. And number two, desires, if you just try to fulfill, how much ever you fulfill, it won't satisfy. It will ask for more and more and more. So, all Vedanta says is, pitch up a goal. Understand that from the time you are born, you are being constantly benefited. You are getting so many blessings from the world. So now, the fact that you have grown and become an adult, you have an obligation to pay back. So set a goal for the welfare of the whole world, dedicating your talents, and from that whatever comes, you fulfill your desires as long as they are dharmic. So when you do that, you will be materially prospering and spiritually evolving, mentally peaceful. So therefore, he says, attach, you lose, detach again. If you are attached to your selfish pleasures, you lose. First of all, you won't be able to do your action with calmness because you're chasing your desires. Even if you do a little bit now, when there's a threat or something, you will be affected. Secondly, even if you get, fulfill your desires, you won't be satisfied, you won't be happy, you'll be agitated. And in the bargain in your mind, you always feel you do not have it because you will be thinking about the impending loss of it, and eventually you lose it because the law, as you think, so shall you become, comes to effect. Therefore, this is a very, very powerful law. Attach, you lose, detach, you gain. So you wish to have a good relationship with your spouse, with your children, with your neighbors, society. You must learn to become detached. Detached means what? Developing a vision which is broad, encompassing the whole world. You understand that even a stray dog is being taken care of. Then the stray dog came into existence. Food for that dog is also ready in the world. Yes, the dog might have to do a little bit effort to find it, but it is there. Like Mahatma Gandhiji said, there is enough in this world for the need of the people, not for the greed. Greed ke liye, nahi, it won't be enough. But need ke liye, bahut hai. So therefore, if you really understand that, you won't get unnecessarily agitated about future. You'll just focus in the present, you'll be successful, peaceful, prosperous, and exhausting vasanas involved.
And that is sufficient to more than offset the
slack. Somebody is. Therefore, attach you lose, detach you gain. And detachment means knowledge of the higher. Detachment means broader vision, not selfish ego. Detaching from the selfish ego. So instead of viewing the world from just your angle, see it from the totality angle. See, when your desire is unfulfilled, so why my desires are not fulfilled? I don't know why only mine is happening like this. Because you are focusing just yourself. So if you have the knowledge, you will not just focus on yourself. You say, listen, I've organized a wedding of my children or grandchildren on the seashore. I've been praying that there should be no rain. There are farmers who have sown the seed and, you know, they want rain. Now, whose desires will nature fulfill? Sometimes yours, sometimes theirs, sometimes neither, sometimes both. It's like that. Once you understand that, then you won't get perturbed. So that detachment will be there with reference to the impermanent aspects of life, especially your ego, which is alone going to give you success, peace, prosperity, and spiritual evolution. Now he explains further with few more examples to motivate us to be charitably dispossessed. Because this whole topic is charity. And then he says charity, like I explained to you last week, okay, better than not doing anything, some portion of your income you keep aside and do charity. But once you gain the Vedantic knowledge, your whole life will be just charity. That's why we worship bull in this country. Even Sri Krishna addresses Arjuna as Bharata Rishabha in the Bhagavad Gita. Rishabha means bull. Bharata Rishabha, bull among the Bharata race. Why bull? Because bull lives on the principle of minimum intake and maximum output. Bull constantly contributes, isn't it? Very little it takes. And that also to contribute back. It doesn't just keep taking. It has that attitude of giving. So consumption is very minimum. Contribution is maximum. That's why we worship bull. Arjuna is also called as bull among Bharata race. Bharata Rishabha. So simply mechanically worshipping bull without knowing its reason, it's not going to help us. Why do we worship? So when does a person become really strong? And a person wants nothing. And a person has no desires. He will be strong. The moment there is desire, you will become weak. You see, when a labor leader goes to the board, the committee, to discuss about asking for rain boots for the laborers, he goes there, sits and talks so confidently. And he may achieve his purpose also. He may convince the management that, you know, heavy rains are predicted, so we better give them all this. Whatever. He talks with such confidence. Because he wants nothing. It's nothing for himself. So there is, you know, in somebody we say, Madila ganam, badila bhaya. Madila ganam means you have something in your pocket. Some diamond rings you have. So when you are walking on the road, you have fear that somebody can, you know, what do you call, pickpocketed. But if you have nothing in your pocket, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't care whether somebody comes and tries to steal something from their pocket because there's nothing. So similarly, when you are not attached, there is no fear. There is no insecure feeling. You know, so you beautifully you act with a charitable disposition. So therefore, he says, Madila Ganam Varila Bhayam. So there is attachment means something you are going to lose. I might lose something. Mera kya hai? Fayda kya hai? You know, these thoughts. All these thoughts will give you stress and strain. But we will attribute the stress and strain for something else. We will attribute the stress and strain for something else. That's the problem. We will say stress is because of this fellow, that fellow. You know, the policies are different nowadays. Therefore, I am going through stress. You will not even understand that it is because of your attachment. In spite of the policies being same, everything being impermanent, you have the capacity not to be stressed. How will that come? That will come only if you are detached. It will not come if you are attached. So that's why he says, you know, attach, you lose, detach, you gain. The whole life should become charitable. Whatever you do, it's only to give. Whatever I've educated, whatever resources I have, I put it back to use to give it. So when you give, you have to be intelligent. You can't be stupid. That's why he says both the donor and the donee has to benefit. Both has to evolve spiritually also. Both has to get peace. Both has to become materially prospering to whatever extent. So when there is no desire, there is no fear. When there is no attachment, there is no fear. You know, so the same labor leader, next day when he goes to the board members, to the managing committee, and he is now asking for a job for his son. He says, my son has finished this course. So, you know, can you please help him get a job here? That time is different. When he went asking for something for others, he wants nothing. You are so confident. But when the same guy goes asking something for himself, what happens to that one? Yes, sir. No, sir. 3 bags full, sir. Like a detox. Why? Because he wants. So what weakens you is your selfishness. When you do not want anything, you are a king. Really speaking, who is rich, who is a king? Only one who doesn't want anything. As long as there is something that you want, you are finished. It doesn't matter. It's got nothing to do with how much you have. It's to do with how much you want. It's to do with whether you want or not. You want nothing. Like Oliver Goldsmith, he says, his state is kingly. Fellow state is kingly. He wants nothing. He will fall for nobody. You understand? He is the liberated soul. So that's all he says. Live. Gain that knowledge. It steals away your wanting, craving, beggarly, asking tendencies. Knowledge only steals these things. You know, I have quoted this many times. Somebody asked Swami Vivekananda, what did you gain coming to spirituality? He said, I don't know what all I gained, but I can tell you what all I lost. I lost all the negativities. I lost asking. I lost beggarly attitude. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, bhaya. All these various modifications I lost. You know, desires, greed, fear, arrogance, jealousy, anger. I lost all this. So, the more and more you gain this knowledge, you continue losing. And in life, losing is winning. Winning is losing. Winning meaning gaining all this, accumulating is actually a loss. So therefore he says, learn from the phenomenon of colors. The fascinating example given by Swami Ramtirtha. The whole portion is given by Swami Ramtirtha. It's a fascinating portion. Let's read from that paragraph, the phenomenon of colors. So who wants to read? Anybody else?
I'll read, Guruji.
Okay, please read.
The phenomenon of colors illustrates this law of life. Light is constituted by seven vibrioric colors. When an object is bathed in light, the seven colors impinge upon it. When the object absorbs, takes in all seven, it appears black. In effect, it loses all the colors. Whereas when the object does not take in any color, gives away the seven colors, it appears white. When an object appears blue, it has actually given away blue and taken in the other six. It appears in the color it parts with. An object gains the color it gives away. Learn this lesson from nature. You gain what you give away, what you sacrifice, not what you take, aggrandize. Develop the spirit of dispassion, renunciation. You turn pure, divine. Whereas you aggrandize, amass wealth, you turn impure, demonic. That is the law. Oliver Goldsmith puts forward this idea succinctly. Where wealth accumulates, men decay.
So, he quotes the phenomenon of colors from Ramtirtha and explains this. Physics tells us all this. There are seven vibrioric colors that impinge upon any cloth, any material. But that object is known by the color it reflects, not by the color it absorbs. You know. So if it is known as blue, in blue color, it is only reflected blue. All other six colors it is absorbed. If it's known by yellow, it is reflected yellow and absorbed all the other colors. If it is known in black color, means it's absorbed all the colors. If it's known in white color, means it's reflected all the colors. That's the reason why we wear white color. Should remember this all the time. You know, to reflect, keep giving. That attitude. Tera tujhko arpan kya lage mera, I'm only a trustee. Ye sab aapka hai. You know, that Ishwar ka hai. Ye sab Ishwar hi hai. Nothing else other than Ishwar. You understand? So when we really understand this, then we will be reflecting. We won't want to keep anything. Somewhere I read, or I listened to somebody's lecture, I think. There he says, Prophet Muhammad apparently had this principle. Whatever income they had earned that day, they'll spend it. By chance, little bit is left out, he will say, no, you have to give it to somebody. He will not be able to sleep peacefully, it seems. That's what a story I read or I heard somebody say. So, wanting nothing, not having a feeling that I am having. Arjuna, in the beginning of the first chapter, what did he say? Senayor bhayor madhye ratam sthapaya me achyuta. He's addressing Sri Krishna as Arjuna, Achyuta, sorry. Arjuna is addressing Sri Krishna as Achyuta. And then he says, Senayor bhayor madhye ratam sthapaya me achyuta. In between both the armies, park my chariot. I would like to see all of them to fight. He's saying, my chariot. This is the problem. The most important thing you need to dissolve, give away is mera, 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 mera. Mera ko chodna. That knowledge doesn't, it doesn't come that easily unless and until you reflect. So therefore, we should understand from this phenomenon of colors, learn. You are the color, the object is known by the color it reflects, not by the color it's absorbed. Similarly, you are rich not by aggrandizing, you are rich by reflecting. Because you're paripurna, na? That's why you risen above it. It doesn't matter how much you have, but you still have a dependency upon it. You don't have it as far as psychology goes. You don't have it. That's why you are still dependent on it. Then there is abundance. You know, when you have opened up the gate of abundance through knowledge, why would you have the dependence? That is richness. That is true richness. So therefore, he says, very beautifully, you know, in the concluding lines of this paragraph, he says, learn this lesson from nature. You gain what you give away, what you sacrifice. It's a law. I explained to you last week itself. When you are attached, I hope it should not go away, it will not go away, it will not go away, it will not go away, and it should not go, it should not go, should not go, should not go. So you are thinking about going. So it will leave you. And as you think, so shall you become. See, remember that example I told you. When you go anywhere, you know, in many of these, movie theaters and airports and all that, you'll see the pictures everywhere. Smoking cigarette, lit cigarette, with smoke going up, and then one cross over it. Now, what they are telling is no smoking zone. When you see that, in your mind, cigarette smoking has come. Now, though it is saying don't smoke, what it is saying is don't smoke. But what is coming in your head is cigarette that is lit and smoke is coming out. This is what happens in negative thinking. You know? So, I should not lose this. Oh God, please make sure that, you know, it always stays with me. You'll do all that. But in your mind, I may lose it. And you are creating it. Somebody else is not creating. You are creating it. You are creating your destiny through your mind. So when you actually lose, you'll find everything coming to you in abundance. Because you are not attached to it. That is why he quotes and says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. Even women. You know, this quotation is by Oliver Goldsmith. He's just saying men. He should have said human beings. Instead of that, men decay. Whether man or woman doesn't matter. Attachment, aggrandizing, you decay. It's not that when you, it's got nothing to do with how much wealth you have. A lot of people misunderstand this. Inside, are you attached? That is called aggrandizing. It's not enough. Kya kare? Inflation, ye itna hai, wo hai, ye hai. Then I want more, one more. So the tendency to keep on accumulating. That means this psychology which I explained to you starts working. You'll start losing. Firstly, it will happen that you'll lose wealth also. It will happen. Number one point. Number two point, you won't enjoy. You won't let anybody else enjoy us. Nobody can enjoy. This is the problem. Like some fellows who go abroad and then they'll order something to eat, dosa or something. You also sometimes, you know, you are there, so with them, they take you, so you eat. You order one dosa and about to eat, they'll say, sir.
So we do
this. Same dosa in India is 200 rupees. Here this fellow is charging $5. It means 400 rupees. Now you don't know whether to eat or not eat. Neither that fellow enjoys, nor will he allow you to enjoy. You will eat with such guilt, never ever you want to go back to eat anything with that fellow. So, the thing is, you will not enjoy. Wealth is gone as far as you are concerned. You just lead a very beggarly, sickly life. That's why he says, where wealth accumulates, men decay. You should understand that it is being given to you. You are a trustee. It belongs to only Shri. Shri means Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi will be where Shri Pati is. She resides in his chest. That's what God symbolism tells us. In our Hindu culture, where does Lakshmi ji reside? In Lakshmi Pati, Inka chest. So then, that means what? Where there is Lord, there will be Lakshmi Devi. And where there is Lord, will you have fear of losing anything? Ye sab Bhagwan ka hai. You have been blessed, he has given you. Use it wisely. Use your buddhi. This, you have to intelligently distribute it. Maybe by starting an industry or business or whatever, I don't know. Doesn't mean that you just call everybody, okay, all of you come and then give one by one. Foolishly, that is not what he's saying. Then you are actually catering to your ego. Want to be known as a giver. Well, it's Bhagavan giving through you. As if we are capable of giving. So therefore, when you really understand these quotations and these laws, you will not want to feel that anything is yours. So that's what it means when he says wealth accumulates. It's not the tendency to accumulate wealth due to attachment that he's talking about. Whereas if you supposing intelligently start an industry because you can give more jobs to so many people and then more families, there will be more growth, economic growth and this and that. Then from that whatever comes if you take, as a result your wealth externally also is accumulating, increasing, that's fine. Your tendency is not to accumulate. That's what he's talking about. That if you have, you will decay. You will decay in every sense. First of all, wealth will decay over a period of time. Mentally, gone case. All the fellows who are attached to the families, if you see, peace of mind is gone. Everything gone. Outside world thinks is fascinating, fantastic life. Inside, if you go, you will know what a pathetic life it is. So that's all he says. Where wealth accumulates, men decay. Our life stinks. And we keep on accumulating. It stinks. Continue, please. Adu, please continue.
Yes. Charity, therefore, is not merely an objective dispensation of wealth. Rather, it encompasses a subjective mental disposition to give, to serve, to sacrifice. Being socially conscious of others' needs in life. When such social consciousness prevails in the human race, there can be no poverty and no need for social work and social organization. But the world is starved of this vital consciousness. Instead, people are self-centered and resort to selfish means of exploiting the passively innocent masses, resulting in disparity of wealth and poverty everywhere. Not realizing this intrinsic cause of poverty, well-intended philanthropists, stung by emotional ecstasies, resort to bouts of social service without a clue of the role of social consciousness in society.
Please continue.
Social service is indeed a noble trait, but not at the expense of developing social consciousness among people. Every human being must be educated in the spirit of social consciousness. That is to empathize, serve, share, and harmonize with fellow beings. The concept of social consciousness ought to be introduced at the level of primary schools for children to grow with that noble trait. And families practice it in their homes from the very beginning. Charity begins at home. When the spirit of social consciousness prevails in a community, there will be no need for social services.
Continue.
Philanthropists, with all their social work, can only create pockets of relief while the perennial problem of poverty persists. The problem should be addressed through mass education and dissemination of wealth consciousness to individuals. Vedanta, the ancient philosophy of India, educates and inculcates the spirit of social consciousness in human beings. That should remove the curse of poverty on them. There is abundance of wealth in the world. People have only to drop their self-centeredness and recognize the needs of others.
So, charity already explained in the few paragraphs before that, you know, it ought not to be judged based on the intention or motive alone. It has to be judged based on the results it produces. So, if it has to produce proper results, it has to be backed by thinking, not foolish, impulsive giving that he is talking about, you know. In life, if you see in the world, either people don't give, just keep on grabbing, or they do impulsive giving. Simply. Therefore, he says, it's not merely an objective dispensation of wealth. Rather, it encompasses a subjective mental disposition to give. That is the main thing. Mental disposition to give means you have the attitude that it is Bhagavan's. I'm only a trustee. It's not mine. Tera, mera nahi. That attitude. So I've been blessed for whatever reasons due to karma, whatever. Thank God for it. I'll continue using it to serve the society intelligently. So I am blessed. I am in this world. I have a certain social obligation. So I am socially aware. The social consciousness is there. So I got to intelligently use this resource for the welfare of the world. And whatever comes from that, I have to live also. As long as the prarabdha continues. You understand? So therefore he says, when you have such social awareness, social consciousness, what will you do? He says, when such social consciousness prevails in the human race, there can be no poverty. Why? Because you will not take what is more than necessary for you. First of all, because people do not have any social consciousness. Simply they function very selfishly, greedily, using their intelligence. And then grab and create poverty. And then you will start one NGO and say that, yeah, it's got to be bed sheets there, it's got to be pillows there. Right? He says, first of all, you will not create poverty only. When there are fellows out of their laziness, they don't want to act and they remain poor, that's a different thing. But you won't be the reason for poverty. Like Jesus Christ says, you know, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. You will suffer if you caused it either directly or indirectly. You will suffer. One day you will have to pay. Nobody can escape. Nobody will escape. Doesn't matter who you are. The law will work. Therefore, you understand this. You will only be functioning out of social awareness. Dispensing whatever wealth you have with that awareness for the welfare of the world. Loka sangraha. You know, Sri Krishna beautifully says, loka sangraha ne vapi. For the sake of loka sangraha, welfare of the world. Then, you will not be the reason to create poverty. That's all he says. And there will be no need for social work because there is no poor fellow. And there are no poor fellows. Why there is need for social? Firstly, because of our behavior, there is a need for social work. And then we will do social work. And there are people who are giving awards for doing social work also. And we get that award. Not that we should not get. What I am saying is, the whole thing sometimes seems very, fake. It is, see, when these things are fake and you are in it knowing that it is fake, it is such a mentally stressing thing. So that's what it is. When the social consciousness prevails in human race, there can be no poverty and no need for social work or social organization. This is why when, you know, that was the last Rotary Club lecture I gave a few years ago, back that lady who used to attend my classes, who took me for this Rotary Club talk, unfortunately passed away now, out of some brain tumor or something. Very nice lady. Usually when these Rotary Clubs invite you, it's only 20 minutes talk. Two times I've been, then I stopped going. This lady said, no, please. Somebody's sitting, mic is on, please put it in mute. So then, she said, no, sir, this is some different event. You can talk for 1 hour. Was it Habitat Center? And I said, what topic? She said, you choose. I don't know what topic to give. So I said, what is the motto of Rotary Club? She said, service before self. I said, please change it to self before service. This is the topic I spoke there, whatever we are studying now. But the topic is self before service. Their motto is service before self. First of all, please understand. And listen until the knowledge goes in and some amount of paripurnatvam, completeness, you have experienced. You cannot serve. In all service, something or the other you want. You understand? Something, somewhere you want recognition. Kuch na kuch. You are doing it as a beggar only. Only and only when there is knowledge going in, and to the extent knowledge has gone in, you do not want anything. You will be true giver. So that's why I said self before service. Like before you can help anybody else in the aircraft, when emergency time the oxygen mask falls, they say first you help yourself. Then help the other fellow. Otherwise you will choke and you will choke the other fellow also. Similarly, you have to become deep in life. We are all suffering from the lack of depth. You know, the depth is lacking in life. And we are thinking that this grass things will compensate for the lack of that inner depth. We are all sick inside. That notion that I am the doer, I am separate from you, I am this, I am that. Wo bada, bahut bada bimari hai. It's the biggest bimari. All such intelligent scientific inventions, what? To send one, what do you call it? Missiles. One country to another country and then put it on the children's hospital. It's very, very sickening when you read such news. What kind of a human beings are we? When we can use that intelligence to destroy? What is this? Is this development? So where is such a thing coming from? Lacking the depth. It's really bloody, the whole thing. Everywhere blood and inside also, it's bloody only. That's why he's saying, the world is starved of this vital consciousness. You should understand that, you know, we come and go. All beings come and go. They have their life. They have their reason to, they have their, right to live in this world. Okay. Now, what do we do? Just few years. Even if you live 100 years, that 100 years is the eternal time in which the world is continuing. What is it? It's nothing. Within those few minutes we create, when compared to that, it's few minutes or seconds only. So within those many years we destroy everything. We are just going on destroying this with no social awareness whatsoever. And then doing social work. So that's why he's saying social work without social consciousness is a mockery. It's a mockery. How can a fellow who inside is lacking and having bimari go and do service? What service he'll do? So therefore he says instead people are self-centered, they don't have social consciousness. And resort to selfish means of exploiting the passively innocent masses. That's what they're doing. So he says, resulting in disparity of wealth and poverty everywhere. Not realizing this intrinsic cause of poverty, well-intended philanthropists, stung by emotional ecstasies, resort to bouts of social service without a clue of the role of social consciousness in society. So therefore, first and foremost, we have to uplift ourselves. Then you can lift the whole world. Udarer atmanatmanam, natmanam avasadaye, atmaiva atmano banduhu, atmaiva ripuratmana. Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Give your personality a lift, then you can lift the whole world. We are constantly thinking of lifting the whole world. Then we ourselves are in some pit. Deep pit we are in. And then we want to lift the world. As if everything is normal with us. So therefore he says, social service per se, if you see, it's noble. But what are your intentions when you lack the completeness within? It's a noble trait, but not at the expense of developing social consciousness, social awareness. So then everything you do will be in the interest of the total. Everything. Once you have that social awareness, whatever you do will be in the interest of the total. Like you will be like an ambassador. When I open my mouth, they will say, India speaks. Hey Baba, I just casually said something. No. You are the ambassador. So India said so. So the fellow has to be very careful. Whoever is the ambassador. The ambassador has to be very, very careful when he speaks. She speaks. So therefore, you will be like that. Every step. That's why I said, when in our Vedas, they are saying, reverse are like, they say that the whole universe is Bhagavan. You know, Vishwarupa. And the rivers are the bloodstreams of Bhagavan. Now, if you really understand this, is this how we will keep our rivers? Pathetic condition it is. All the rivers. And we say this, that and all that we do. Rivers are pathetic. Because of us. So, this is what he is saying. Inside there is no knowledge. Without any gaining knowledge about yourself and bringing that paripurnatvam, you are going and doing this social work, that social work. What is the use, he says? Therefore, he says, philanthropists with all their social work can only create pockets of relief. Little bit here and there. You won't really uplift the world. Before you uplift the world, go and sit and study. Fortify your inner personality. Become mentally well first. All of us are mentally sick. We are sick. It's just that nobody has the capacity to go into our mind. Just you know. I know about what is going on in my mind. You know what is going on in your mind. We really have to thank God that nobody can see what is going on in my mind. Or your mind. Isn't it? All kinds of rubbish outside nice, like that coconut. Literally our personality is equal to coconut only. You see, the coconut is very nice, smooth outside. You open the top layer full of coir. No. Then you remove that hard shell, vasanas. You break that hard shell inside white kernel, that is Atma. We are like that. Outside when people see, yeah, beautiful, very good fellow. Doesn't start his class without chanting Hari Om, without chanting Om Jana Vavatu. Very good fellow. Inside, only that fellow knows. So, first we have to purify the inside. Automatically, you cannot do anything without awareness. With awareness, you cannot do any negative. Not possible. That's why I told you. When Mahavir, what battle did he go to? Mahavirji, Vardhaman. Did he go to battle of Panipat, Ranipat and all that path? He didn't go any path. He only gained the knowledge. He transformed himself. He's called Mahavir. Who hurts no being? Who hurts no being and is called Mahavir? Because when you conquer the self, you will not hurt any being. That's the biggest and difficult conquest. That's why he is called as Mahavir. All other conquests are easy. You understand? Ego cannot do anything worthwhile. With ego which is fake, you can only do something which is not worthwhile. And all the worthwhile fellows who stick to the ego, they think it is something great. Really, if you have knowledge, you will have no value for other nonsense. So therefore, he says, see, this topic is a very, very powerful topic. So sometimes you will find my words are also a little sharp. It's aimed at no personalities. It is just that concept. But it's a very deep concept. So he says, the philanthropists with their social work can only create pockets of relief. Temporarily. Everything. Temporarily, temporarily, temporarily. Huh? Isn't that what is happening? If we seriously think, why is this happening? So many NGOs. Our own institute, Vedanta Institute, Delhi is an NGO. So that is why we say, listen, our only job is to give knowledge. Giving means not giving. We have to live that as much as possible. And then disseminate. When the knowledge goes in, you will become a giver. See, I'll tell you one example. Many, many years ago, in Chennai, I used to lecture in Chennai those days. 97, 98. And sometimes, you know, during the Yajna, Swamiji's five days lecture, some people will give some money, donate and say, please distribute books to your cost first. So much money. You know? So, Swamiji will announce Vedanta Treatise book, somebody is sponsoring. We can distribute the books free, but we will not distribute the books free. You give whatever you can and take it. The idea is, firstly, you are paying me, you are really reading, going to read. Secondly, more people can buy. More people can benefit. Isn't it? Somebody is giving 10,000 and let's say 20 books can be given. If somebody is giving 50, 100, whatever they can give, at least another 5 people will be benefiting. And the fellows who are giving some money will definitely read. So this is the reason Swamiji announces. That you know, you'll say somebody is given the money but they are not distributing free. You give whatever you can and take it. I used to take one class in Tuplicane. One boy, very poor Brahmin boy, very good fellow, every day he used to attend my class. He's in college. Very poor fellow. He came and he told me, sir, I will give 25 rupees for the book. I said, listen, you will get the book free. I won't take 25 rupees from you. I will tell Swamiji. Swamiji said, yeah, yeah, please give him. There's another fellow who came. He told me some X amount of salary is drawing, but he cannot give even single paisa. Whatever may be the reason, he is not willing to give even single paisa. He said, so please give me the book. Swamiji said, please give that fellow. After reading, he will become a giver. If he genuinely reads. Really speaking, if an ounce of knowledge goes in, you cannot be a taker. It's not possible. It's impossible that you will be a taker. Shakespeare says, when he talks about Desdemona, not only she was beautiful, in character also she was brilliant and beautiful. Excelled in character as well. Somebody asks her 100 rupees, she'll give 100 immediately. Not emotionally, intelligently, knows that they need it and she gives. All that is understood. As soon as they leave taking the 100 rupees, she'll think, should have given them a little more. So Shakespeare says, she found vice in her virtue for not having given more than what was asked. She She found vice in her virtue for not having given more than what was asked. You understand? That should be the attitude, really speaking. Really speaking, that should be the attitude. That's all he says. That will be the attitude when knowledge goes in. When knowledge has not gone in, then obviously all this tamasha will happen, whatever he is saying. That's what is happening in the world today. So he says, what people need is this knowledge. The more and more people begin to gain this knowledge, everybody will be giving. It's a yajna. See, the concept of yajna, when we explained, we have discussed this in the fourth chapter of the Gita. Your organization is the kund into which the wood is put, you know, in the yajna kund. We are only going on doing fire worship everywhere. If you really understand, that's why Swami Chinmananda ji called it as Jnana Yajna, which is also in Gita. This Gita of Jnana Yajna series, every year we give lecture. He calls it Jnana Yajna because you get social consciousness. Then what will happen? Your family will be the kund, your organization will be the kund. In that, wood just put. Wood is what? The fuel. Your vasanas. My vasanas. And when our vasanas are churned for the welfare of the world with social awareness, there is the fire. Fire comes from the wood only, na? Fire is also in the wood and wood is the fuel also. So within us there is vasanas, within us there is knowledge. When we churn our personality with this knowledge, the knowledge from within starts becoming more and more, and it starts eating the selfishness, the grossness, the vasanas, the attachments. Then more and more you'll be giving. So thus when this knowledge goes to everybody, every employee, not only the employer, the employee, everybody, everywhere there is people with that attitude of giving, then imagine what kind of a society we will be creating. What kind of a society? But today, what kind of society is there? Everybody is in tension. Why? Everybody is attached. Not enough. Attached. So that's why he says, you are not, first of all, a philanthropist. Nobody can be a philanthropist, technically, when you go in. Only philanthropist is Bhagavan. And then, great philanthropist. What if we can give? We take little bit from the world and then we are giving very little from that. And then we say philanthropist. So says Vedanta, the ancient philosophy of India, educates and inculcates the spirit of social consciousness in human beings. We develop that awareness. That should remove the curse of poverty on them. We are all till then having this curse of poverty. You know, when Swamiji always says, even when we eat, if you are really hungry, you worked, you feel like eating a little more, please you should eat. But don't take even little more if you are full. But every extra that you eat is stealing. It's stealing. How you can steal if you have awareness? You will not. Not possible. So, therefore, he says, first thing we need to develop is social awareness, social consciousness. It's like without any social consciousness, in national consciousness, every day you will salute national flag. But what is the business you are doing? Smuggling. Right? You're doing smuggling, but every day you will salute national flag. What kind of a national awareness are you having? You do not want to pay any tax, no duty, nothing. But saluting national flag, you are. No, and then all the songs you will be singing, Vande Mataram and all. What's the use? So, that's what he's saying. The very reason you salute the national flag, hoist the flag, salute the flag, is to build the national awareness. Once you have built the national awareness within you, anything you do, you cannot do anything against the country. Similarly, when you build this awareness, it's just one family for convenience sake put up the borders. Sometimes not just convenience sake, out of nonsensical sake, useless brains we all have, they put bricks, you know, the boundaries here and there. So, you have to build that awareness. There is something growing better in certain countries, something growing better here. So you work in that and give it to them. They work and give it to us. Few days we are going to live in the planet. Let's help each other. What is the big deal? That awareness is not there. It cannot. The ego, we will keep on pampering the ego with all the intelligence we gain in the world, and then we fight with each other, finish off. That's all he says. There is abundance of wealth in the world. There is abundance. But when there is no inside abundance, what we'll do? We'll only try to hold and keep it mera, mine. And then in this, the worst fellow is who doesn't do anything, even little bit he doesn't give to anybody else. You know, like he said, once in a while he gives and then temporarily solves the poverty. That also there are fellows who don't do. They are the biggest givers as per Shastra. No, I'm contradicting myself, isn't it? Why? What does it mean they are the biggest givers? Biggest givers because thief will come and take it away from them. Bulk, in bulk. Or either thief will take or Sanila will take. Somebody or the other will take. In bulk. You don't do anything, you keep on hoarding, and a fellow who will come and take it in bulk from you. That way you are a bigger giver. It's a very sarcastic way of putting Shastras. Shastras are saying, it's not mine. So when you gain this knowledge, you will not be able to be selfish there. Selfishness will be gone. You understand? That is what we are supposed to lose. We are not supposed to lose anything else. You lose the selfishness, then happily you will walk. It's freed up. You think it's mine. You cannot walk with freedom. Forget walking. Sleeping you cannot. That's why we have lost our sleep. When it is yours, how can I sleep? You have disturbed sleep. When it's mine, then how can I have peaceful sleep? So what is the problem? Mera. So, in the Upanishads, they say, what is bondage? Mindness. What is freedom? Dropping mindness. That's all. One word only they say. You want freedom? Drop mindness. From today, you'll be happy. This moment. But you don't want to drop the mindness, you will suffer. Nobody can change it. I can't change it, nobody can change it. Even Bhagavan Sri Krishna can change if you hold on to the mindness. So therefore, he says, with the knowledge you drop the self-centeredness, he says people have only to drop the self-centeredness and recognize the needs of others. And when we do, then we live like Gita says, parasparam bhavayanta. Contributing to each other, we'll have a society which will be abundant society. Today it's all abandoned. Everybody is living in loneliness. Tremendous loneliness we are all living in. So it's a very, very beautiful, important portion, this charity. So please read, develop this attitude. Firstly, you will be helping yourself. more we have this attitude of giving, we'll be happy, peaceful. The more we have the attitude of grabbing, we lose our peace. This is a law, you take it or leave it. Let's conclude. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Budhyatmanava Prakrute Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Priyom, see you all next time.